some brown shirts. And I seduce them when there's no one around. Mano y mano, on a bed of nails. Bring it on like a storm, till I knock the wind out of his sails. And we don't make eye contact when we have run-ins in town. Just a barely polite nod, and another stares towards the ground. I once joined a peace class, plastic inert, slow dance with commas, like a length of a skirt. And we like to party, and we can be live. And we had a three-volume total temperance thing.
Good morning. You're tuned in to Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news source, Mission Local, brought to you via BFF.fm. Today we're revisiting a hot and touchy subject from 2012. You may remember the political drama around accusations that Sheriff Rasmir Karimi had abused his wife, who suffered a bruise on her arm after an argument between the two on New Year's Eve 2011. Well, his wife is putting on a play about the political process that ensued, and we interviewed her about that process and what to expect from the show. In the second half of our program today, we'll address any comments or questions from listeners, if there are any, and if we have time, we'll explore the recent tide of actions against evictions. Tenants at 812 Guerrero, recently the property of Google employee Jack Halperin, were able to quash their evictions in court, and the residents at the Pigeon Palace are doing their utmost to buy their property back from the open market. So keep it here for that conversation. I'm Laura Wenis, and I'm here with Dan Hirsch and Lydia Chavez, as always. Good morning.
Guten Tag. Guten Morgen. Sorry. Guten Morgen.
Both would work.
Yeah, okay.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? How are you?
Pretty solid.
Yeah. So your LED dress that they're wearing this morning.
Oh, yeah. My high-tech wearable.
Mm-hmm. That is a reference to Silicon Valley Fashion Week. You should check into Mission Local later today for some coverage of it.
Yes, please do. Yeah. All right, so let's get started with a brief review of the political turmoil around Sheriff Mercurimi and his wife. In early 2012, a video surfaced of the sheriff's wife tearfully gesturing at a bruised arm, saying she wanted to protect herself against the eventuality that he might try to win custody over her son in a potential divorce. The couple never did divorce. Instead, they were forced to separate for 6 months by a stay-away order issued to Mercurimi. In a plea bargain, the sheriff pled guilty to misdemeanor false imprisonment, was sentenced to 3 years of probation, and had to turn in his firearms. The city's ethics commission recommended that he be removed from his position for official misconduct, but with 7 votes to uphold that recommendation and 4 against it, the board of supervisors ended up allowing him to keep his job. The misdemeanor false imprisonment has since been expunged from his record. Now Mercurimi is up for re-election, running against Vicky Hennessy, who held his job while he was suspended. Meanwhile, his wife remained more or less out of the conversation, though she did write an open letter to The Chronicle from Venezuela and gave an interview with ABC7 from Venezuela as well during their separation. The couple is now reunited, and things seem to be going well, and Lopez is about to perform in a 70-minute, one-woman show, retelling the story of what happened from her perspective. We spoke to her last week, so this is a pre-recorded interview, but we want your thoughts. Tweet at us, @MLNow, and we'll respond to you in the live portion of the show. So, without further ado, here is that conversation.
Complex.
Well, maybe with a little bit of ado. I'm here with Eliana Lopez. How are you today? Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you, Laura. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for this opportunity.
So this particular play is a story about what happened to you personally. Describe just briefly for us what the plot exactly is going to be, so I don't mischaracterize it.
Thank you. Well, this play is not about domestic violence, mm-hmm. and I it's strange for me how people already is criticizing something that they haven't seen mm-hmm. yet. And they think in their mind that this play is about domestic violence, but it's not. Okay. I think it's a very autobiography. Mm-hmm. It's my story. It's my side of something that happened to me mm-hmm. from my eyes, from my perspective. From my perspective as a woman, as a Latina, as a successful woman who came to this country to have a family and to do my best to start a new life here. And then I felt completely silenced for those who said that we are here to empower women. Mm-hmm. All of them men. With a chorus of women sharing them, mm-hmm. women that I felt, and I still feel, should be more close to me, should be more helping me and empowering me. Mm-hmm. So how I didn't receive any of that support from them, I empower myself, and I'm taking my voice back mm-hmm. doing this play. Yes, it's based in a real story, but it's my way to tell my perspective of things.
You've said before that it took you a long time to be able to look back at these events mm-hmm. without having a really emotional response. So I wonder what thoughts and feelings you did have at first reliving these events, and then how that turned into the decision to take your voice back and take an active role in mm-hmm. reshaping the dialogue around these events.
It was a long process. And I remember during 2012, my dad, who is a director and he was a professor in the university, he was always telling me, write everything you feel, write everything what is happening, keep record all the papers, all the articles, all the interviews, keep record of everything. And I did. Even though it was hard, I did. And I tried to write. And in 2013, I try again to go back to that because that is the thing. It's a healing process. Mm-hmm. You need to... It was so traumatic for us. And it was so hard for me. Being alone, being away from my husband for 6 months and 1 week. With my family apart, not able to say anything, not able, everything that I was trying to say, I was labeled as a, first I was like this Indian immigrant that she doesn't know what is good for her. Maybe they hit her at home too.
Indian?
Indian in Spanish is indígena.
Okay,
like,
yes, yeah.
Like native uh-huh. person that she doesn't know what is good for her. Mm-hmm. First, that was the first level. Then I was this bomb Latina who is lying to take his money. Then I was like, I am in denial and she's so confused. She doesn't know and she's just covering everything. So I was all this different person for the people. And really, I think I am not any of that. I am other person. I am Eliana who was having other experiences, who was thinking other things. So I took in 2013, try to write, but it was really still very hard. Mm-hmm. And it was, I was always getting emotional and it's like, oh my gosh, how you can write. But that way, writing is like a healing. You are throwing that out. You are like, it's like you go to therapy. You go to therapy, you tell your story, and then you heal, and you can start to see that in another perspective. And it's the same when you write. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important, that process. Theater has this power to transform these experiences. And you can see how we have theater in jails, how we have theater in schools, how we are use theater and drama as a therapeutic thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's really, let's sit down here and have this conversation. This is a human experience.
Yeah. So part of that conversation, and you just said this, was that the system sort of failed you mm-hmm. and in a sense silenced you.
And it sounds like, from an outsider's perspective, they were trying to be tough on perpetrators and set an example. But what are your thoughts on how women can be better treated by this justice system, and in a sense, Latina and minority women can be treated better by this justice system?
It is a line in the play that I said, we all know that being an African American or a Latino in this country is to live in disadvantage. I think race played a big role in our case.
Mm-hmm. How so? Hmm? In what way? What
was the effect? I am Latina.
Right.
I don't know if I were white. And I talk with my friend. I say, look, I have this situation with my husband. I don't know if she will act in the same way. Maybe she will be more respectful. Like, okay, she is my equal. I don't need to make decisions for her. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that I am a Latina play, I already told you the different levels they put on me. I believe if I were white, could be a different story. Mm-hmm. And my voice maybe could be heard.
How would the system have handled it better to be able to hear your voice? How could they have done
that? I think race play a lot of things, but also think that politics, it was very, very important.
Sure,
and we should not forget that my husband won that election with 3% more votes than the mayor.
Well, speaking of elections, I mean, what is this like for you as partners and for you as public figures to be doing this performance mm-hmm. at the same time as he's running for re-election? You both have two very big things going on right now.
Yes, and I'm not going to move my show just because he's the re-election. It took me a lot of work and a lot of time to be able to put a show together and finally start rehearsing. And I was like, what do you expect, that I'm going to move my show when I have been working on this for so many months? No.
So, they're two independent processes?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, he doesn't know anything about the script. He doesn't know.
So is he going to be unpleasantly surprised by his portrayal?
Maybe.
All right.
He supports me, but he doesn't know anything about the script, and he doesn't want to know.
Okay.
So he said, okay, I trust you, and you do what you think you have to do, and that doesn't have anything to do with the campaign. Actually, right now, I'm not really involved in his campaign. I hope after the show I can have time and mind to support him more.
I see.
But at right now, I am just full-time in the play.
Yes. So you also mentioned community support. And I think that because of your role as a Latino woman, I'm curious to hear what kind of reactions you've gotten from the Latino community, especially given this that this show will be performed at the MCCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a lot of studies and data coming out, or that have come out, about the prevalence of domestic violence in Latino communities. So it feels like a salient subject. Can you talk about the response at all from people in that community?
I remember during that time, and that is also some few things that I reflect in the show. During that time, I received a lot of calls from women, Latina women, with kids that they were living really in a domestic and abused environment. And they call the police, and the police doesn't come because they just listen the accent and they don't come. Or a woman told me, my son called the police and say, I am here and I've been abused, and they didn't come. So I think that we need to really open, and I think it's happening in the national level, we need to open the conversation and being more honest how we are going to handle these situations. And I also think, I don't want really to blame anybody, because I really believe that the domestic violence advocates, they really are doing a great job, and they have been working so hard for so many years to raise this awareness about this issue that was hiding in their homes. But we cannot lose the perspective. And not everything is domestic violence. And not because one person was killed, that means that we need to tear apart all the families. I think women need support. Latina women need support. And to handle their situation, to find a way to work and not be dependent, I think it's more complex, and we need to open that, and we need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we went too far now from white and black. Maybe we need to also remember that in the middle is a lot of people that they just need support, they just need therapy, they just need a way to find a way to be together. And I think that it was something missed in our case. Mm-hmm.
So a slightly more technical question. You're going to be playing, what, 8 different characters in the show?
No, I think I play more. I think I played like 12 characters.
So, and these are real people?
Yes. And
do they?
No, they are not real people.
They're not real
because
people.
As I told you, we couldn't do like all these different, so the system is just one character.
Okay.
We couldn't, it's like so many lawyers in both sides, 12 supervisors, ethic commissioners, so we put just one judge.
Okay.
And that represent everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the real characters are there are my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog.
Do they?
And my son.
Do they know how they're going to appear? Have they heard anything
yes,
about
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes, yes. I ask for their permission. But all of the other characters, they are fiction. And if you maybe go to see the show and you make any connection, it's because of you. It's your own responsibility. Because no, we couldn't really... what is really in the play is like a convention. You can put 6 months in 70 minutes.
Right,
you
right.
really need to be creative. And it was so many people involved.
Yeah.
And it was so confusing. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I try to explain and it's like, oh my gosh, no, this is so hard.
So are they based primarily on your perceptions, or did you go back and sift through records and articles and things like that to piece it together?
Yes, I have like everything.
So lots of research that
yes.
you did to put this together.
And we went and we checked things. But the most important, I think, this play is about a woman that was successful and strong in her own right and came to this country and felt silenced. Her family was destroyed for 6 months. And how you can, as a woman or as a family, find the strength and find the to go back and to finally win, because I think we won. We as a family are stronger than, it's like you feel like, you know, we deal with this, we can deal with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think this play is really about love, about a strength, and about doesn't matter what happened, you need to stand up for your things and protect your family. It's another beautiful line that I put in my mom's lips, that she say, hijita, familia es familia. Family is family, and for good and for bad.
Hmm.
And in our case, was for bad for some moments, and we did it. And now we are together, and we are enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, would you encourage the same speaking up for yourself and pushing through it for women for whom maybe being together with their domestic partner is not the best thing for them?
I think each woman knows really what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And each family is completely different. But you need to talk and speak with a woman what she wants. And that was something that was missed in our case.
Yeah. Great. Well, Eliana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. So, any initial thoughts from either of you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, it's just so, I mean, it's so, I have so many thoughts. On the one hand, I think it's so odd to, but I think this says more about just sort of the human personal compulsion that people have, that they need to do something that they feel they need to do, and that is driving this. And I'm really curious to see the play now. But it's so odd to me that someone who really, in this interview at least, seems that she was so much more in a way affected by the pummeling that she got in the press and the political nature of this event, which became a big media event, would then want to go out again and in a very public venue go over it and sort of make a defense, knowing how many different voices are going to be chiming in here. So that just says to me that there's something about this for recovery, for whatever reason, that she needs to do, and she's doing it. So that's powerful, and I'm very curious to see the play, and I think that she, I hope that she, that it's treated kindly. I mean, I don't know. It's so tough.
Well, it seems to be already garnering some criticism. Like she said, before people have even seen the play, they're already criticizing it. So in that sense, I don't know that there's much hope for it to be received kindly. People have tended not to be kind, I think, in this particular case overall.
Wait, why do you think that is?
I think that people acknowledge this, you know, rightly, as something that was largely... That blew up because it was political. And I think that that is something I can understand from her perspectives, is that this would never have been as huge as it was if it hadn't involved a public official, which of course makes sense. He's a public official, and this, I mean, he was almost ousted for official misconduct. But I think that because it has become, in a sense, or became a media zoo, and because it was, saying this while adding to the zoo population in covering it, I think that people tend to approach political dramas with a little bit of satire, with some cynicism, and with less kindness, less of an attitude that this is about domestic violence, and more of an attitude that this is about politics and how officials should handle themselves.
Because I was thinking maybe it came from, I mean, there's such, you know, the domestic abuse in the world, in the country, and certainly in minority communities is huge. And I was sensing maybe that there's just so much skepticism around her defense of herself, and so much more concern about, you know, the issue of domestic abuse, and that any sort of defense of what went on becomes problematic in that arena.
Yeah.
And that maybe that's why there's an impatience with her.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's definitely true. I think it's very, like, I am very hesitant to say anything critical right now, and maybe I've already put my foot in my mouth, but that's certainly something that I feel like I should be cautious about this, and maybe everybody should be cautious about, maybe it's a touchy topic for a reason, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, you can't get away from that. This is, I mean, one individual is deciding to do this against, really, I would think, the advice of almost everyone around her.
Except, you think so?
You know, I mean, her father was telling her to write. He wasn't saying go out and perform.
Well, her brother's directing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that resonated with me that she said is every family is different.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the family, unless you're there, it's hard to know what is abuse and what isn't abuse, and what is, like, within the norms of that family structure. But at the same time, I know. I'm backtracking now. I mean, with that said, abuse is abuse. So yeah, that's. But I'm curious to see what she does, and it'll be a really interesting, provocative.
And she very much felt invaded. I mean, she felt, you know, re-listening to this now for the second time, it seems like it was the the race issue for her was really that if she had been another white friend going to talk to this white woman, that she wouldn't have felt that she needed to take action for this, that she feels that. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, certainly very curious to see how the portrayal, I assume there will be a portrayal of the neighbor whom she went to and recorded this video with, who then later went to the police, ostensibly against her wishes.
Right.
I'm very, very curious to see how she portrays this person. Just like on an interpersonal and a theatrical level, I would be fascinated by how as an actor, you come forward and portray someone with whom you have a lot of personal history, and then speak for them,
right?
Which, well, I think could be true for several characters in this play.
She also, it doesn't seem like McGreevy is a character here. She says, "I've asked permission from everyone that's a real character," but her husband doesn't know what's in the play. Doesn't know, which also is
a little bizarre. Especially if he's running again.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be interesting.
We will see. In any case, the performance opens May 29th. Lydia, I believe, will be going to a press preview on the 28th, so you will be able to hear more specifics about the actual show and Lydia's reaction to them later this month.
And my husband's going to go as well and react.
So two reactions from our end and plenty from other areas as well. In the meantime, I think we should move on. We're getting close to the end of our show here. Let's talk about our neighborhood notes. Does anybody have anything interesting to share that you've noticed in the neighborhood?
Two things. So the corner of 24th and Folsom, where Phil's is, there had been a mural there for a while that had been like greened over and had been tagged. And a new mural is going up, and that's always fun to see. I think it's a mural. It's a mural that features El Tecolote pretty prominently. I don't know much about it yet. I just saw it going up the other day, but it's cool to look at in the process if you want to go check out a mural.
Yeah. I'm actually writing a story about one of those murals. Not that one, but I believe that is part of a series called Walls of Respect, put on by the Presida Eyes Mural Center, and Mission Girls is actually doing, I believe, one mural, although at the moment it escapes me where it is at. But stay tuned, and I will be writing about that in that process.
Oh, cool. And then also what I alluded to earlier in the show, Laura and I went to a Silicon Valley Fashion Week event last night, and it was fascinating. And so I just want to make you anticipate a video that's going to go up on our site later today about it.
Yeah, and check out Dan's tweets. They're hilarious. At Daniel J. Hirsch. I mean, that was some spot-on commentary. Lydia?
I would say I've been going by Garfield Park lately on the weekends, and the games that are going on there are terrific games, and I would really recommend that people just drop by Garfield Park if you feel like watching a really good game.
Cool. My neighborhood note, in case you haven't noticed yet or you're getting a late start, it is bike to work day today, so the bike lanes are full. If you are a curmudgeon, perhaps you want to stay off the streets or in public transit today, but if you're a cyclist and you want to see the other members of your cycling community, the SF Bicycle Coalition also has a lot going on around the city with little kiosks in various places. So I think that will close our show today. If you've been tuned in to Listen Local, you should also check out our website, missionlocal.com. If you know something that we don't that you think we should, shoot us an email at info@missionlocal.com or tips@missionlocal.com. After us, you can listen to Robo DJ Spin the Jams, but definitely come back at noon for the Hanging Garden Radio Show with Davey Bones. Thanks for listening.
Vemos por las esquinas evitando el que dirá. Mi cuerpo no se acostumbra a este amor que entre penumbra es más fuerte que un volcán.